It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this Thursday, the 25th day of August. Just 4 months to Christmas, folks. That's all you have to get your Christmas presents. You know, Jeff, our producer, Jeff Reed, I walked into Hobby Lobby the other day. They have Christmas trees on display already?
No.
In Hobby Lobby. So there's something weird about walking out of where we live, 105-degree temperatures, into a store that has Christmas trees and everything like that on display. But it is a reminder. You know, the year is slipping away like crazy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people are thinking about things election, and we're going to get into politics in just a moment. But I just thought about that this morning, just 4 months, 16 weeks or so to Christmas, and we'll be there. And it is. If you want to get into the Christmas spirit in the midst of this hot summer weather, go visit with Hobby Lobby, and you'll see the Christmas trees on display. Don't know how many they're selling this time of the year, but get you thinking about it. I guess that's not a bad idea. All right. We're going to get, as I say, to things politics in just a second. There are developments on the Hillary Clinton Foundation front this morning we want to get to. But first, the other big story yesterday you may have heard had to deal with Mylan, the producer of the EpiPen. This is, you know, the people that have allergic reactions, and this is kind of the emergency response you can do. You can punch that drug into yourself, and it helps to alleviate the danger that people have. And we're talking about people with severe allergies here. And EpiPen has been a way to deal with that on the spot, whether it's an allergy to sometimes it's fish, sometimes peanuts, whatever the case may be, bee stings, whatever the case may be. So this is not just you're not putting in an aspirin to deal with a long-term problem. This has been necessary for a lot of folks. The development yesterday was that the public found out that the price of EpiPen has gone from about $90 up to well over something like $600. So you get two applications in this package of EpiPen. Well, members of Congress, in a rare show of bipartisanship, both Democrats and Republicans, saying they want to haul Mylan before a congressional hearing. What's going on here? Because at the same time, we learned that over this period that this price has, 400-500%, whatever the case may be, has gone up that much. The CEO of the company, Heather Bresch, her salary has gone up from just over $2 million a year, poor soul, she wasn't making much at all, to about $19 million a year. So the price of this drug, which is so necessary for so many people suffering from allergies, going up almost to $600. A lot of people say, I can't afford that. The company initially actually trying to blame the insurance companies and deductibles and all of that sort of thing. But here's the announcement this morning, and we just put it up on onenewsnow.com. Onenewsnow.com is breaking news. Here's the story from the Associated Press just in the last 20 minutes. Mylan, now in the crosshairs over severe price hikes for its EpiPen, says it will expand programs that lower out-of-pocket costs by as much as half. Mylan Envy said Thursday that the patient cost will be reduced through a savings card that will cover up to $300 for an EpiPen 2-pack. The company said it's also doubling eligibility for its patient assistance program, which it said will get rid of out-of-pocket costs for uninsured and underinsured patients and families. Patients will also be able to order the injected emergency medicine for severe allergic reactions directly from the company to help lower costs. Mylan has hiked prices for EpiPen as frequently as 3 times a year over the past 9 years. The list price for a 2-pack is now more than $600. So, Jeff, the question, though, people are going to be asking, okay, here, within 24 hours after taking all this heat, when the public found out about this, all of a sudden you're able to do all of this for these patients who really need this medication. And so the question is going to be asked, okay, really? And it almost, Jeff, goes to support the idea that it was greed. The company could have been doing this over the last several years. It could have adjusted its so-called savings card program. It could have adjusted the eligibility of people to get the patient assistance program. It could have helped others with regards to lowering costs in many different ways. It's admitting this morning, it's saying it's going to do that. And the question is still going to be asked, and I'm not sure whether the congressional hearing will still go forward. The question is still going to be asked, why weren't you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they look guilty this morning. And the idea of blaming it on higher deductions and all of that sort of thing, I don't know. They're not talking about that at all this morning, Jeff.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Do they have a monopoly on this?
Well, there was one other competitor. We talked about this in our newsroom meeting yesterday. Apparently, there was one other competitor, but there was a problem with that company. I don't know the name it was. There was a problem with the product itself. And so there was an issue there. And so, yeah, that question was asked. You know, this is not something new. EpiPen's been around for years and years and years. And so we asked the question, are there competitors out there? But the one that I heard about had some kind of problems with a government regulation or whatever the case may be. So anyway, folks, some good news. If you're one of those who has had to depend on EpiPen or you have an insurance company that has not been covering most of the cost, as I say, you can go to onenewsnow.com, and read more about it. But I think the public is perhaps going to be somewhat still disturbed over this, the fact that they could have done this some time ago. So we'll see how things develop today. And I'm sure they'll be asking for further, reporters will be perhaps asking for further clarification as to why you couldn't have done this some time ago. All right. Things politics. Well, the heat has been turned up on the Clinton campaign. Finally, yesterday, Hillary Clinton responding to the ongoing revelations of the connections now being reported, by the way, by the mainstream media. And this is it. Hillary Clinton yesterday kind of blaming Donald Trump for making a big fuss over her time as Secretary of State and the people donating to the Clinton Foundation. And what all this really started in the last 48 hours or so, when the Associated Press came out with a story, they've been looking at basically the appointment book for Hillary Clinton. And one of the things that they found out in their Associated Press report, they found at least 85 people from private interests who met with or had phone conversations scheduled with Clinton while she led the State Department, and those 85 donated to the Clinton Foundation. Combined, the donors contributed as much as $156 million to the charity. Going and showing proof, many people believe, undisputable proof, that there is a certain pay-to-play going on. Now, yesterday, as I say, Hillary Clinton finally responding to this. As you're well aware, she hasn't held a news conference in well over 200 days. But she responded yesterday on CNN's AC360, it says, and blaming Donald Trump, saying it had provided her campaign had provided more transparency than her Republican rival's sprawling business interests. She called in to CNN's AC360. To address Trump's suggestions that the foundation started by her husband, Bill Clinton, had been used to facilitate a pay-to-play scheme. And she said what Trump says is ridiculous. And then she went on to say the foundation had provided life-saving work, adding that neither she nor her husband had ever drawn a salary from the charity. That's not being disputed, the fact that they didn't draw a salary. It's not being disputed that some good causes was there. The question on the front pages this morning, it's not only the AP, it's the Washington Post, it's other publications, the New York Times. They're all asking the question, the growing proof of a pay-to-play setup. People who donate to the Bill Clinton or the Clinton Foundation all of a sudden get special access to Hillary Clinton while she's Secretary of State. So her excuse is, we're doing really good work. That's an old Clinton way of kind of deflecting attention. Look at the good stuff we're doing. And so it seems to be part of a plan on how to respond to this, because her husband, Bill Clinton, was saying much the same thing when he was asked about this yesterday. Just look at all the good stuff that we're doing. Let's have a listen.
President Clinton, anything you want to say about the report from the foundation donors?
Yeah, first of all, there are more than 300,000 people who've given money to our foundation from all over the world. And I'm proud of them and grateful to them. And I mean, look what's happened. When we started 15 years ago trying to save the lives of people with AIDS, a lot of people around the world thought it was crazy to give medicine to poor people. We got the cheapest medicine in the world, and now there's almost 18 million people on drugs. We're trying to do good things. If there's something wrong with creating jobs and saving lives, I don't know what it is. And the people who gave the money knew exactly what they were doing. And I have nothing to say about it. I'm really proud. I'm proud of what they've done. And I saw people were criticizing Hillary for meeting with Elie Wiesel and Muhammad Yunus, two Nobel Prize winners, who would have gotten meetings with any foreign secretary in any country in the world. So I just think, you know, it's election season. But I feel good about it. And I made it clear that if she becomes president, we'll have to do more than we did when she was Secretary of State, because if you make a mistake, there's always appeal to the White House if you're Secretary of State. If you're president, you can't. But we're going to transition all these responsibilities that would require foreign or corporate donations, which I won't accept, and I won't raise money for the foundation if she wins.
Classic Bill Clinton. Classic Bill Clinton. Go back to Monica Lewinsky. I didn't do anything. Didn't do anything wrong. I just want to go back to work, so leave me alone. So this is Bill Clinton getting a question from a reporter yesterday. Just look at all the good work we're doing out there with this foundation. How can you criticize us? Well, once again, Bill and Hillary Clinton, it's not about the good things that might have been done by the foundation. It's the growing evidence of a connection between you give to the foundation and you're going to get some good things done by my wife as Secretary of State. And to say today that, you know, if she wins, hey, well, we'll back up a little bit from the foundation and we'll kind of take away any questions. Well, as I was saying, all of this, Hillary Clinton finally deciding to respond, but she responds by blaming Donald Trump for putting too much attention on this. And then you heard Bill Clinton. Well, it's even the liberal media, as I say, that are now drawing questions about this connection between if you give to the foundation, you get special access to Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. Here's what the Washington Post was reporting yesterday. They gave several examples. A sports executive who was a major donor to the Clinton Foundation and whose firm paid Bill Clinton millions of dollars in consulting fees wanted to help getting a visa for a British soccer player with a criminal past. So, got a meeting with Hillary. The Crown Prince of Bahrain, whose government gave more than $50,000 to Clinton charity and participated in a glitzy annual conference, wanted a last-minute meeting with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. U2 rocker and philanthropist Bono, also a regular foundation events, wanted high-level help broadcasting a live link to the International Space Station during concerts. Got a little meeting with Hillary out of it. How about that? As I say, when the mainstream liberal media starts saying, wait a minute, there is something here and Hillary's in trouble, so it's not just about Donald Trump making accusations, folks. All right, much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. We'll be talking about evangelicals and Donald Trump when we come back. Much more ahead on this Thursday morning.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas. It's a great way to say thank you to our soldiers for all they do. We'll be serving around 1,800 soldiers that day, and we need your help to make it happen. If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. That number again is 877-968-3742. You can also donate online by going to www.tankfuloflove.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. An Air Force major accused of having a Bible on his desk has been cleared of wrongdoing. Mikey Weinstein, the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, filed a complaint against Major Steve Lewis on behalf of 33 offended Air Force personnel. He accused the Christian military officer of civil rights violations. But a public affairs spokesman tells me Major Lewis was well within his rights to have an open Bible on his office desk. The major is now free to return the Bible to its rightful place. A few thoughts on this matter. First, I want to commend the Air Force. They refused to be bullied by Mr. Weinstein. Second, I want to challenge Mr. Weinstein to stop pestering the military with his petty complaints. And finally, a word of advice to the 33 aggrieved military personnel. If the presence of the Bible causes you to tremble in fear, maybe you ought to consider another line of work. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy on this Thursday, who's taking a bit of a vacation break this week, visiting with family, and we wish her all the best. Hope she enjoys it. She deserves the week off. She'll be visiting with a son and her grandkids. Imagine having Sandy Rios as a grandma. Now, that must be interesting conversations around the dinner table when she's visiting. Sandy, you know, I can just imagine her talking. What do you know about the elections there? I'm going to talk to you about the elections and what are the important things that you should know. She's so passionate.
Yeah.
What you hear in the mornings on Sandy Rios, that's Sandy Rios.
It is.
This is not her persona when she opens up the microphone. That's the real Sandy Rios. Because we go back and forth with emails through the day, and she keeps me up to date on what's going on up there in Washington. But it must be kind of fun when they get together as a family. I'm sure the topic of politics comes up regardless of the age of those grandkids. Anyway, it is an interesting time, and one of the debates that's going on during this election season and in this particular cycle within the evangelical community is, okay, there are some, at least evangelicals, who say, you know, I just can't bring myself to vote for Donald Trump because of his background, his some of his family background, some of the things that have happened. In fact, this week there was a editorial in the Christian Post, and it was entitled "Why Evangelicals Shouldn't Vote for Trump." Among other things, they say Trump feeds bigotries and instigates violence. Rather than calling us to live up to the better parts of our nature, he encourages the worst parts of our nature. Videos of his rallies tell the tale. Racist slurs are shouted from mouths and proudly announced on T-shirts and signs. Trump encourages supporters to punch demonstrators, and they comply. Now, that's a quote from a Christian Post editorial, and I'm not sure. As I say, that doesn't represent necessarily the whole editorial board at the Christian Post. And I think I would have to take issue with, notice they're talking about people in the crowd for the most part, and they're not talking particularly about Donald Trump, but blaming Donald Trump, it seems, for the character, or some of the characters, and some of the events that may have occurred at the rally. Well, there is the other side to this whole story, saying, no, Christians, evangelicals, they have an obligation to go out and vote. That is part of the obligations as citizens, is to go out and vote. And you may not be totally happy with Donald Trump's character, but you still have an obligation. And one of those advocating that we have an obligation not to stay home and not to vote, but to do something in this election cycle, is Matt Barber, who's founder and editor-in-chief of Barbed Wire. He's an author, columnist, cultural analyst, and an attorney concentrating in constitutional law. And Matt Barber joins us on the line right now. Morning, Matt.
Good morning, Fred. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. So you've read that portion of the editorial from the Christian Post yesterday. What do you think of those accusations being made?
Well, first of all, that is such a broad and general and sweeping accusation based upon the actions of a handful of people attending these rallies. And don't forget now, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, he's very clear. He specifically recommends to so-called progressive agitators that they do exactly that sort of thing, that they attend rallies in KKK hoods, and that they make fake signs and pretend to be conservatives and pretend, then go and cause a bunch of disruption and try to smear the character of a candidate or his supporters through their own actions. So I'm not convinced that that many of those individuals who are agitators at these Trump rallies are not actually there. I am convinced that many of them are actually there as progressives disguised as Trump supporters to create disruption and to try to smear as racist and as homophobic and so forth Trump supporters and Donald Trump himself.
Back a few days ago, you wrote an editorial for the Christian Post, the title of which was "Does of Two Evils Choose Neither Apply to Clinton versus Trump?" I found it interesting. You kind of started off your editorial quoting Charles Spurgeon, who said, "Of two evils, choose neither." But basically, the thrust of your editorial was that doesn't apply in this political realm. Explain that a little bit.
Well, sure. You know, and let me, full disclosure here, I have been a very strong critic of Donald Trump, some of his past behaviors, public statements, and a reluctance that he has shown to really come up and apologize for those and change his behaviors. I was among a group of evangelical leaders, along with AFA's Tim Wildman and others, who met with Donald Trump in New York, and I have to say I was taken by how humble he was to come into a place and, you know, that was really out of his element here and hat in hand and reach out to evangelicals. Now, is Trump a flawed man? Absolutely. I was a never Trumper. I wrote another article from never Trump to maybe Trump. And my point in my article in quoting Spurgeon here is that, you know, I asked the question, is of two evils, choosing neither. Is choosing neither evil always the right thing to do? Is it always even the moral thing to do? Is it the wise thing to do? And in a case like this, what does effectively choosing nobody in this election, or choosing some candidate that has absolutely no chance of winning, just out of a sense of kind of, you know, principle on your own, and if people choose to do that, I get it. That's their prerogative. I'm not, you know, I haven't been a huge Trump supporter myself, but we're down to two people. The reality is it's going to be either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump as our next president. And people need to understand that if Hillary Clinton is president, forget it. This country will change in ways that we cannot reverse, I believe. The Supreme Court will never, ever look the same. It's already radical. It's already leftist and engaging in activism. But if Hillary Clinton gets 2, 3, 4 Supreme Court appointments, forget about it. We are no longer the United States of America, a constitutional republic. We will become more of a Euro-socialist nation. And religious liberty, which Donald Trump, to his credit, has said that he will stand in defense of, and the rights of Christians to freely exercise their religion and their faith and in keeping with the First Amendment. Hillary Clinton has indicated she intends to go after religious liberty. She doesn't say it that way, but she's going to push abortion. She's going to push radical LGBT rights to the detriment of our families, our children in public schools. The indoctrination will come full force. So we are down to two choices. And at least with Donald Trump, he is pledging to provide constitutionalist, conservative Supreme Court justices to the court, appointing them to the court. And he's promised to repeal the Johnson Amendment that has muzzled pastors in churches across the country from speaking out on these transcendent moral issues. And so to me, the choice is clear. You know, Hillary Clinton is absolutely hostile to our religious freedom. She's hostile to the principles that made this nation great. Donald Trump, while not perfect, and while I don't agree with him on every issue, at least on many of the big issues, we know that he is at least pledging to be favorable to our founding principles.
Matt, I guess, too, we have the history of 2012 when it is said many evangelicals stayed home because they didn't like the fact that Mitt Romney was a Mormon. And, there are some figures that say there were millions of evangelicals didn't vote for that reason. And we know the result of what happened in 2012.
Well, yeah, that gave us 4 more years of Barack Obama and 4 more years of arbitrary executive orders and radical policies and a tightening around the neck of Christians of this noose for religious freedom and the pushing, his main agenda, pushing the demands of the homosexual activist lobby. And look, you know, I wasn't a big Romney supporter either, but boy, if we didn't learn our lesson about choosing, you know, somebody that we're maybe not that excited about, but staying home and voting or voting for some obscure third party candidate that is never going to win out of a matter of principle. Well, that doesn't seem very principled to me when your vote for a third party individual who stands no chance of winning effectively turns into a vote for the greater of two evils.
Matt, if you had a chance to talk with Donald Trump, is there anything that he could be doing over these next several weeks leading up to the election that might win the heart, or at least the vote, of some evangelical maybe listening this morning who says, no, I'm not. I'm in the camp of I can't vote for either one. Is there anything that Donald Trump could be doing to win those kinds of individuals?
Well, we need to be praying for Donald Trump, and I would not want him to say anything that he did not mean, mm-hmm. just to try to placate Christians or conservatives. But I would hope that Donald Trump, James Dobson has indicated that he has had a real coming to Christ. I hope and pray that is true. If it is, he's going through the process of being sanctified, as we all are, and that is an ongoing process. I would hope that he would look inward and that he would have a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and that he, you know, whereas he had before he had said he doesn't like to ask for forgiveness, that he might publicly state, hey, look, here are many of the things that I have done wrong in my life. You know, Christ has shown me now where I was wrong. I'm not perfect. I'm still a flawed human being, but I'm working toward trying to emulate the teachings and actions of our Lord Jesus. I think if he did that and actually move forward in with his faith and really surrendered himself to Jesus in a real public way. I mean, what a powerful testimony could that be? So I'm hoping and praying for Donald Trump, and every day I'm praying for Hillary Clinton as well, of course. But I think Donald Trump can say and do a lot in that sense that might really endear him to some of these skeptical Christian voters.
Matt, I've been wondering if over the last several days we have heard an indication at least, of some modification in Donald Trump's platform with regards to immigration. And I'm wondering, because there have been evangelicals who have been speaking to him about this, that what some would consider the hard line about deporting all 11 million illegals in the country, send them all back. He seems to be modifying on that. As I say, perhaps I wonder if he's reacting to the advice of some evangelicals who say, you know, the idea of deporting people who have been here for years and years is unchristian. And your response to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the reality is that, to just hunt down and bus 11 million evangelicals, many of them women, children, or not evangelicals, illegal immigrants, many of them women, children, that gives the other side certainly fodder for portraying Donald Trump as racist, for portraying him as heartless, and there's got to be a practical and comprehensive approach to this. I believe that we can cut down on illegal immigration through attrition, by going after employers, for instance, that are hiring illegals and so forth. There are ways to make this happen without the horrible optics of loading up, families, breaking apart families and so forth, and sending them in buses. So I think probably his handlers are saying, look, while the same idea of protecting our borders, of protecting national security, of building the wall and so forth is a winner, we need to also be careful in how we frame the clamping down on those who are already here illegally, which of course something has to be done, and he has said that. So yeah, we have seen a little bit of a softening in his approach, but I think to immigration. But I think that's been pretty much across the board. I've noticed in many of his speeches of late, he's really digging down deep and drilling down into policy, and not so much pushing with the personal attacks and some of the kind of bombastic rhetoric that we've heard in the past.
So, some people, I guess, are still asking about the real Donald Trump. You said you were one of those who met with him. Are you convinced that he is shifting, not necessarily for political reasons, but just for reality reasons and getting out there and meeting more people? Because, as Donald Trump businessman, he traveled in a very small circle, but this election campaign has forced him to get out and meet a lot of folks who I would say live in the real world.
I got the real sense, and I've met Mr. Trump twice now, and the first time I met him, face to face, shook his hand, got to really, get a feel, I think that he's very generally, I think he's a good man. I think he loves this country. I think he loves his family, and the evidence of how he has raised his family, certainly many flaws and many things he has done and said in the past that are contrary to the teachings of Scripture. But that, I would hate to have every single statement I've ever made laid out to bear before the entire public as well. So I see a softening in his heart, and I think he's generally speaking, I think he's a pretty good man who loves his family and loves this country and wants to do right by this country.
All right.
So it's just the humility, again, that he showed and willing to step out of his element and come before so many evangelical leaders in a really out of his comfort zone.
All right.
Answer questions and humble himself. I was impressed by that.
All right. Matt Barber, we appreciate your comments on this, and we'll look forward to more as this debate continues in this election season. Thank you so much for joining us. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Time for you to weigh in on this debate. 888-589-8840. Has Donald Trump won your vote, evangelical? We'll be back.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Planned Parenthood clinics have become more like U-Pull auto part dealers than health clinics for women. It's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Washington Watch Daily with Tony Perkins, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving the Lord with Friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, better known as CFIUS, is supposed to prevent foreigners from making national security-threatening investments in this country. Unfortunately, it's run by the Treasury Department, which has the responsibility for promoting such cash infusions from overseas and rarely sees one it dislikes. Take the $43 billion transaction CFIUS just approved. A communist Chinese state-owned chemical company is now one step closer to buying Switzerland's Syngenta, a leading manufacturer of pesticides, herbicides, and other agribusiness products. Syngenta has plants in the United States that involve the handling of hazardous chemicals and directly impact our food supply. What could possibly go wrong? The short answer is a lot. China is increasingly aggressive, and there is a distinct possibility of conflict. This is no time to be giving it control of potential time bombs in this country. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today, 888-589-8840. Got a lot of calls there. We're going to go to them in just a second. Donald Trump, he was in Jackson, Mississippi last evening for a rally. And a lot of people wondering if he had scheduled this as part of the newest element of his campaign, if I can put it that way, in that he is reaching out to minority communities, both African-American and Hispanic. And, of course, Jackson, Mississippi, they say roughly 80% of the population of Jackson, Mississippi proper now is African-American. And so it was kind of interesting to see if Trump would change the the tone of his speech last night? Would there be a special outreach? So here's a little bit of his speech last night in Jackson, Mississippi, and he did get into that issue of reaching out to minorities in a Donald Trump way.
Hillary Clinton is a bigot who sees people of color only as votes, not as human beings worthy of a better future. She's going to do nothing for African Americans. She's going to do nothing for the Hispanics. She's only going to take care of herself, her husband, her consultants, her donors. These are the people she cares about. She doesn't care what her policies have done to your communities. She wants a government that ignores the will of the people. She wants to sell out American security to the Clinton Foundation for a big fat pile of cash.
Well, as I said, that was classic Donald Trump last night, and his way reaching out to the minority communities, particularly the African American community, there in Jackson, Mississippi last night. So let's go to our phones, and our first caller is from Jackson, Mississippi, and Valisa, I believe it is. And Valisa, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Valisa. I am not in Jackson. I am about 2 hours away from Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
I saw a little bit on television last night. Donald Trump was not my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz was.
Okay.
But what other choice do we have? So I thank God that he has allowed himself to be surrounded by believers that will pour into his life, and I believe that he would make a great president for the United States of America. So, therefore, he has my vote.
He has your vote because the alternative is Hillary Clinton, and you could not bring yourself to vote for her.
I cannot, not what I know, what she stands for.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I started looking at the platform and not the person. And the Lord, thank God, started dealing with me in 2008 because my family always voted on a Democratic ticket, and I followed suit. But thank God that the Holy Spirit, he interceded, and I started looking at the platform and not the person that's running for president.
Hmm. What do you think of the accusation that Trump and others have been making through the years that the Democratic Party enjoys the support, I would say, of the majority of the black community across the country? But what the point that Trump is trying to make right now, yes, they have voted for Democrats, they have voted for Barack Obama, but there's no change. Things aren't getting better for the black community. Would that agree with your assessment?
Indeed. Yes, that is so true. And her, like Donald Trump was saying, she doesn't care about the minority community, not anyone. It's only her. She cares about Hillary Clinton, and that's it. And what she can get from the communities, the black community, she's just a modern day Margaret Sanger.
All right. Well, Valisa, thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. All right, let's stay with our phones. Let's go to Texas for our next call, and Carol's on the line. Carol, go ahead.
Yes, you were asking about what evangelicals were thinking as far as Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking about this long and hard, and in all honesty, throughout history, God has used men of sin and men of repute specifically to do his will and specifically to do great things in this world. And I think just from watching Donald Trump's little transformations here and there, that's exactly what's happening with him. And I really, really do not want Hillary as our president. All it's going to do is be the downfall and destruction of the rest of this country, what little bit is left after Obama.
I take it you weren't a Donald Trump fan at the beginning and during the primaries.
No, not at all. I really felt like he was an egotistical maniac, and really felt like he was in general. And I really had a hard time coming to grips with the fact that he was winning the Republican nomination. So to be honest with you, I've been a Republican or I don't even want to call myself a Republican, if you really want to know the truth. I'm more of a independent. I go for the character of a person. I research them tremendously before I make my decision. I did not vote for him in the primary, and I really wanted Ted Cruz to be in there. But since God saw fit for something else to happen, I had to figure out which way I was going to go. And Hillary is just not an option. And being from a military family, there's just no way that my conscience can let me vote for her.
All right, Carol, appreciate your comments on that. So that is two there, definitely Trump supporters, especially Carol from Texas, somewhat reluctant, and we're hearing a lot of that these days. All right, let's see what our next caller has to say. Jonathan in East Moline, Illinois. Welcome, Jonathan, to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I am going to express even greater reluctance than your last caller to vote for Trump.
Okay.
I am, I also was a Cruz supporter, although Cruz was not my first choice. He was probably my most enthusiastic choice. But I do not trust Donald Trump at all to be anything what he claims he is going to be.
Okay.
The man does have a past record that, when researching it out, you can very plainly see he's been far closer allied in as a point of view to the liberal Democrats and Hillary Clinton than what he is to the conservative issues.
Okay, but you're still going to vote for him, Jonathan. I want to get to all our callers, Jonathan, but you're still going to vote for him, correct?
I am voting for him because I do not trust him. But I do trust Hillary Clinton.
Wait a minute. Explain that. You don't trust Donald, but you're going to vote for him. But you do trust Hillary, because but you're not going to vote for her.
I trust Hillary Clinton to do everything that she is going to say she does.
Okay.
I do not trust Donald Trump to be what he's going to claim. But I would rather run the risk of voting for someone that I cannot trust.
Right.
To be what he is supposed to be.
Okay.
Then trust someone who I know is going to be what she should not be.
Okay. Jonathan, I think I get it. It's early in the morning, but I think I get it. All right. Back to Mississippi and Shirley. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I'm definitely voting for Donald Trump.
Okay.
I'm an 80-year-old lady from South Mississippi. I did my homework. And the people who originally stood for him, I trusted those people. And if I didn't look at anything else, if you look at his family time and time again being interviewed with whoever it is, you couldn't do that if you weren't a decent person. You couldn't raise those kind of children. And I've been very impressed with his children, and I think he'll do better than the alternative. And I'm definitely voting for him.
That's interesting, Shirley. And I've heard a lot of people talk about that they were pleasantly surprised during the convention when his kids got up to speak. And their background, I mean, they grew up in a home of a billionaire. And a lot of people would assume, you know, that they were, you know, kind of golden spoon type kids, that they got everything that they asked for. But it sounds like these are kids that had to work their way up through the company. One of the sons I know, he went out to the construction sites and learned how to drive a bulldozer and all of those things. And I think a lot of people were surprised about that and gave Donald Trump credit for that, of bringing up some pretty good, capable kids who are now in positions, not because necessarily they are just his kids, but because they earned that to that point. So surely your point about his kids is shared, I think, amongst a lot of people. Being impressed with his kids have moved them over even stronger into the Donald Trump camp. Derek in Oak First, Texas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Fred. How are you this morning?
Doing very well.
Well, good. Hey, I want to say thanks to all you guys that are out there doing what you're doing. We pray for you, and we appreciate you, and we support you.
Thank you.
But, hey, I've been listening to all these folks calling in, and I've never called in, but I wanted to voice my opinion on something. There's a lot of people were saying that they're not going to vote for Trump because they just don't believe in voting for the lesser of two evils and this, that, and other, and they don't want to waste their vote and throw their vote away and all that. And I don't know if folks realize or not, but on the ballot, when you're voting, it tells you on there that you can vote for the candidate of your choice, and you can select that vote, and you can also put a vote down there for the straight party ticket. Mm-hmm. In other words, your vote can count twice. And if folks would read that and realize that, they can vote Tea Party or Constitution Party or whatever party they want to and write in their candidate of choice, but they can still vote for the Republican ticket or whatever. Mm-hmm. And not throw their vote away. Mm-hmm. and their vote will count twice. But I feel like everybody needs to get out, especially the conservatives and the Christians, and get out and vote instead of sitting around, you know, thinking that they're trying to put a pastor in office instead of a president. Yeah. You know, Donald Trump's not perfect by any means, but none of us are. And I think that if Hillary were to get in there, then that's going to be the nail in the coffin of this country.
Yeah. And that's an opinion, Derek, that I think is shared by a lot of folks out there. You know, the lesser of two evils question, as we've been hearing this morning from editorials and from other callers. But it comes down to a choice of where you believe Hillary Clinton is with her public policy and where Donald Trump is. And there's no argument is that there is a great distinction between these two candidates. And so it's very clear on that front. All right, I think we have time for one more call, and let's give that to Betty, I believe it is, in Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Good morning. How are things in Dallas?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Great weather. Yes, I am definitely voting for Donald Trump. No, I was in the Ted Cruz camp all the way, but we have the Supreme Court at stake. I think people are foolish if they just look at the personality. Jesus is not running. We have got to understand that our very breath of our nation for our children and grandchildren is not at stake. I mean, we are going to lose the nation. We're being invaded totally, be it Muslims or Mexicans. We are being invaded. And it doesn't take a brain scientist to see that you can't kill the golden cow. I mean, we know what Hillary's been doing since she was in MENA, Arkansas, and she and Bill and their track record. We understand that we will not have a right-left, literally, and her view of Christians is frightening, and this new doublespeak that they're having about her being this marvelous, committed Christian is laughable. That was the only time I laughed yesterday, is when I heard that on AFA radio about her new persona of putting herself out as a Christian. God help us. But we have to understand and look beyond Donald Trump, but vote for him without a doubt, because otherwise your children or grandchildren are going to grow up in a communist country worse than Russia, worse than Venezuela. There won't be anybody to pay the bills. We have to understand that Hillary Clinton is an evil George Soros woman who has an agenda that goes straight to the pit of hell.
All right, Betty, I think we know where you stand on that question. All right, good to be with you this morning, folks. This debate's going to continue. But I think as we get closer to Election Day, decisions are becoming clear on this issue of the lesser of two evils. And people still have that in their hearts. As I say, the debate will continue. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Been good to be with you. Stay tuned for more great programming here on American Family Radio. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.